This is Natasha, founder of Next Level Nonprofits. We are continuing our series today on critical mistakes first-time executive directors make when working with their boards and how to avoid them. I have the honor of having on the call today Claire Axelrod, who has 30 years of frontline development and marketing leadership experience working for art, education, health, and social services and community organizations in all aspects of boards and volunteers, nonprofit resource development, strategic fundraising planning, and integrated multi-channel marketing communications. She was named by the AFP Golden Gate chapter as the Outstanding Fundraising Professional of the Year in 2010. Her passion is instilling an institution-wide culture of philanthropy to further the vision, mission, and values of the organization in service to the community. She is the founder of Axelrod Social Benefit Consulting, and I'm so excited to have her on the call. So, Claire, when I'd asked you about, you know, what do you feel is the biggest mistake first-time EDs make when working with their boards, you had commented and said that EDs don't take the time to help their board members become more comfortable with fundraising. And, yeah, I can't wait to hear more about that.
Well, thank you, Natasha. It's really a pleasure to be with you this morning, and you've got me here on one of my favorite topics because I think there's so much that we can do to help trustees overcome their fear of fundraising and actually grow to the point where they think it's really a fun thing to do. You know, the reason is because they need support. They need encouragement. They need practice.
So why would you say that trustees are so nervous about fundraising?
Well, the number one reason is they're afraid. It's a human thing to fear that when you're asking for money, you're going to be rejected. And people make the mistake of thinking that they're asking for themselves. And that makes them think that they're begging. It's been raised that it's impolite to talk about money. Add that to the fact that no one wants to be a quote-unquote charity case. So people are starting from a place of fear. So what I like to do is get them into a group session and ask them, well, let's talk about this. You know, when is the last time that you gave a philanthropic gift and you felt bad about it?
Right.
And then I encourage them to really, like, share all their stories, get everything out on the table about when they felt guilted into a gift, peer pressured into a gift. They just get it all out. And then I say, well, okay, let's talk about why you felt bad. And it's usually because they ended up giving to a friend or a neighbor for a cause that they didn't particularly believe in. Maybe they bought some cookies or some chocolate or a magazine subscription. You know, it was just a token. They didn't feel good about it. Or maybe they felt coerced. So we get all that bad stuff out, and then I say, okay, now let's talk about when you gave and you felt really good about it. And that's where they start realizing that they don't always feel bad. A lot of the times they give where they or a family member was helped, or where they went to school, or where they volunteer, some place that really thanked them and appreciated them and told them the impact of their gift, and it made them feel really good. And they say, oh, I felt really proud of that. I was really glad I could do that. I wish I could have done more. I felt really part of something important and bigger than myself. And once
That's
they get
exciting.
Out that sense of, oh, it's not all bad, like I actually have felt really good when I've given, then I remind them, hey, these are the same emotions that other donors feel when they give money. When a donor makes a gift to your organization, you're really becoming a partner with them, you and them and their organization, in a cause that's bigger than just one person's life. And it's a way for them to be the change they want to see in the world. They don't know how to do it. They want to be helpful. They see lots of problems, but they just don't know where to connect. And then you come along. As a board member, you're kind of like the good housekeeping seal of approval saying, hey, this is a really good organization. I trust them. They're really effective. If you join with me and make a gift to them, we're really going to make a difference. So you're a facilitator then, and you create this wonderful accomplishment, and people are really happy that they were able to help.
What do board members need to understand to embrace fundraising?
in addition to being fearful of rejection, they're also fearful of letting you know that they think they don't have the knowledge and skills they need. They don't maybe fully understand the impact of the organization. They don't know the mission well enough. They don't know the programs well enough. Mm. They don't know how to be articulate spokespeople. And we think we're giving them plenty of materials. But we don't give them the right materials. We hand them an annual report and say, go. But it's got a lot of jargon in it. They don't understand. And they haven't really been connected back to their passion. And the way to be an effective fundraiser is to be really in touch with your passion. What brought you to the organization in the first place? I really like to spend some time talking with board members about the philosophy of fundraising and where it fits within a culture of philanthropy, and then their role in the process. One paradigm that I use with them is I talk about philanthropy, and I ask them if they know what philanthropy means. It really just means love of humankind. And that's the universe in which we're operating. We're operating in a philanthropic universe that fundamentally is about love of humankind. It's a values universe. And people have different values. Some people care about the environment, some about education, some about the arts, some about social services. And that's fine. People can care about all these values. Then when we engage in development, it's sort of within this overarching circle universe of philanthropy. We're trying to uncover people who share the values that our organization enacts. Everything that the board does, everything the organization does, whether they are sending out an appeal or having a house party or having an event or even their website, all their marketing communications, they're putting out messaging that's saying, this is what we do. These are the values we enact. If you share these values, step up to the plate, identify yourself, come join us, sign up for our mailing list, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then finally, once you've found some constituents that care about what you're doing, then you get to the point of fundraising, which is really just enabling people to act on their values. People give us something of value, which is usually time and money, and we give back to them something of value, which is a lot of things, but boils down ultimately to feeling good, feeling like they gave back, feeling like they made a difference in the world. So, I mean, that's the first thing. And then the second thing is letting the board know that in their role, they wear two gloves. One glove is the role of governance, and that's the glove where they're helping to steer the ship. They're deciding on the mission, the programs, the policies, the procedures, the priorities. They do the strategic planning, and they set the direction for how the organization is going to accomplish their mission. That's the board as a whole. Then the individual